Chinese internet users are thrilled to find out that a popular Chinese phrase, add oil or 加油 in Mandarin, has entered the English lexicon and reportedly gained official recognition by the Oxford English Dictionary. And it's even got its own abbreviation, OED, if I want to sound very, I don't know, linguistic or just rather...
If you want to sound like an insider.
Oh, right. Okay, insider in Liming's world of expertise. Yeah, so let's talk about this. Add oil?
Add oil.
Yeah.
Add oil?
So is this completely foreign to you,
I have
Tony?
To say that this is the first time that I've actually seen the definition of this expression. I've heard it my entire time in China, and it was like, okay, what does this mean? And I found that everyone, regardless of their English speaking ability, could not really explain to me what it meant. It was like, well, perhaps it means cheer up.
Cheer up. On some occasions, it could mean
cheer up. Because like, oh, you have this, you're going to run at the sports meeting. I'm going to come and cheer you up.
Or maybe when I'm not feeling well, let's say I'm feeling a bit under the weather and somebody says, oh, 加油. So it could mean that, yeah, cheer up and I hope you get better.
Yeah. And I feel like I understand the meaning just from, you know, the situation and the context of when it's used. But the actual definition, it's difficult for me to put my finger on.
Okay, so hold on one thing. Tony, so you mean you've heard the Chinese, the Mandarin,
yes,
加油, a lot, but you've not heard the English direct translation of add oil. Right. Okay, so
right.
Lai Ming, why don't you, as now putting on your linguistic hat, try to please define for us what does add oil mean now, according to the Oxford English Dictionary?
Well, here's the Oxford English Dictionary's definition. It means, here it goes. It says, add oil, the phrase originally is and chiefly is from Hong Kong English, and it is meant to express encouragement, incitement, or support, like go on or go for it. But personally, I would prefer to say, like, you've got this.
Mm-hmm.
That's more like a
very
more
American,
an encouraging word than you've got this. Don't worry about it. You've got this.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so in the future, Tony, if someone comes up to you and wholeheartedly with, you know, the glee on that person's face and says, add oil, do you think you know what's going on, or do you still feel that this is rather exotic?
It's just interesting that the word oil is used here. Adding oil, is it used in a positive way where it makes something a bit more amicable or make it better to deal with? I can understand the meaning, but the usage of oil, I guess that still puzzles me, like why the word oil is used here.
Or what about this? Add gas.
Okay.
Give gas, usually.
Add
what you
petroleum.
Say.
Yeah, so I guess the origin of it for Chinese people, I think it's so natural. It's like you go to the gas station and you pump the car with oil, and then you're adding oil. Therefore, whatever you're doing, I hope you can add more energy.
Got it.
Therefore, adding oil, and things will be great again.
I guess for an American, the example that you gave was add gas, and that just the light went on in my head. I was like, okay, got it.
Yeah, so it's really interesting that this is made into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting how, you know, how some words can start as a, you know, in a subculture, and then break out into the mainstream, and then it becomes a part of daily language. And you know, from the States, we refer to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I guess they have a criteria in that certain words, before a word can be added to the dictionary, it must have enough citations to show that it is, you know, widely used. And apparently 加油 is used very widely all over China, and apparently in other parts of the world too. But having a lot of citations is not enough. I mean, the citations show too little about the meaning of the word if it's used in too many places. So the word has to be maybe rejected into entry into the dictionary if all the citations come from a single source. So it has to be used over a period of time and over a wide range of publications. So it takes a long time for a word to be put into the dictionary. So I'm thinking this word is not just, doesn't only apply to China. It must apply to a lot of different regions all over the world to be put into the Oxford Dictionary.
Well, it has been cited many times in the English publication sphere, and but often it's associated with reporting in China or about Chinese events. Lai Ming, are you surprised that this is made into the OED?
Very surprised, and I sort of haven't been able to make a decision or haven't decided make up a mind on how to look at this issue, because on the one hand, as a language learner, as someone who studied English as this major in college, as someone who could appreciate the beauty of the English language from the bottom of his heart, actually, I try to write in a way that's rhythmic, that sort of shows the beauty of the language, the rhythmic beauty of the English language. I try to do that when I write. I'm yet to sort of be able to speak in that way, but I certainly try. But I sort of find it very, very weird to have a phrase like add oil to be included in the Oxford English Dictionary, because really, who says that? Who would say at all? It doesn't make sense at all. I mean, especially for people who are not familiar with the context. I mean, why would I want to add oil when I want to do something? Except for instance, when I'm driving and I'd like to sort of get more gas. I don't get it. I don't get it. But then on the other hand, as someone who's studied linguistics as an English major, I know that languages evolve over time, and that actually there are alien influences over the English language, like de facto, and also the Chinglish long time no see. I'm sure that must be in somebody's dictionary already. Mm-hmm. And so I can tell that over time, languages absorb foreign influences from different languages, and eventually it's not for us to dictate whether we speak this or we don't use this. So I'm a little contradicted here.
Yeah, I can, for myself, I also feel a little divided in that some words I feel shouldn't be in the dictionary, but then at the same time, if you have a large population of people, young and old, using it, then it needs to be cited somewhere. And I believe that the Oxford Dictionary Online, the ODO, and the Oxford English Dictionary, they both, you know, pride themselves on staying up to date with, you know, modern words. And they recently, some recent additions came in, which was like for words like buzzworthy. You know, we're in the tech age right now. So there's a lot of words that are being created and invented for people who spend a lot of time online. BYOD, anybody know what that means?
BYOD.
Bring your own device, apparently. So in certain events where people are coming together, the office where there's computers already present, BYOD means still bring your own phone or bring your own device. And emoji, I think at one point, not a lot of people knew what that meant, but I could ask my grandfather and he would know what an emoji is at this point in time. And a phablet, apparently.
Oh, so this is a phone, but it's too big, and so it can also be counted as a tablet.
Right. So, and I just think, like you mentioned, you know, with time, words change, and it becomes part of our daily vocabulary. And so at this point, people need to be informed on what it means. People who are learning a new language, for example, for people who are studying English today, they're going to need to know these words because this is how everyone speaks now.
Yeah.
Really? At oil? Because there's got to be a standard of good assimilation or bad assimilation. And for me, I think at oil is one of the bad examples of assimilation from a foreign language. I mean, because there are good examples. For instance, the modern Chinese language. There's a lot of phrases that's borrowed from the Japanese language, which in turn borrowed tremendously from ancient Chinese language. And some of the words like 社会 or society will be borrowed from the Japanese language. And nowadays we're using them and they sort of blend into the language that we are currently using. It's very succinct, brief, and it makes sense. Whereas at oil, you always have to refer to the context before you can know what it means. And for people who probably aren't familiar with the Chinese culture, with the Chinese expression, they probably cannot understand. And here is a very interesting pun about, actually in Chinese, there's a very interesting pun about 加油, give gas. Because there's for instance, this girl goes to take the road test for the driver's license, and the coach beside her says 加油, and the girl says thank you, and then the coach says again 加油, and the test taker says thank you, and it's the third time that the coach says I wanted you to give gas.
Hit the acceleration. Yeah. Oh, that's
so she failed the exam, right?
I think she probably failed the exam. So even for Chinese people, this can be a little misunderstanding, depending on the occasion where the language is used, where the phrase is used. And I can only imagine how a U.S. people who's never spent time in China get confused at the use of that phrase.
I'm not sure a lot of people would use it back home for that reason, for the reason that you mentioned. And it's just, yeah, the cultural relativity. Like, when I heard it, I wasn't really sure if it was add oil into your car or add oil into your food. So it was, the explanation is definitely necessary. And of course, being a part of that culture, I think really helps. So I'm not sure how that would fare so much in the US.
And also how it would fare in the UK, because it's the Oxford English Dictionary that first introduced this phrase into the English dictionary. But there are some other examples that maybe initially, when it was included in the English dictionary, received some sort of resistance from conservative people like Lai Ming. But now people use it all the time. For example, well, Tony, see which one would you stand behind? 饺子, 关系, 风水. Or even a hukou.
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
I've heard that one a lot of times. And actually, the first 20 times I heard it, I didn't really know what it meant. You know, I was just like, what is that? And then it arouses the interest. And so a lot of people back home know what feng shui is. It's like, you know, it's like this harmonious look in anywhere, whether it could be you're in an apartment. And a lot of people try to give their work environment this feng shui environment. It's more of a philosophy. So it's just, it's really big back home. So feng shui really stands out to me.
But I would argue that for examples like feng shui and hukou or hutong, I think these words are kept or are assimilated into the English language simply because they are just too hard to translate. What do you want to express when you're saying feng shui? There's got to be a paragraph. I'm looking at a paragraph introducing feng shui in front of me on the page and saying it's a system of laws considered to govern special arrangement and orientation in relation to the flow of energy and whose favorable or unfavorable effects are taken into account when setting and designing buildings. Who's going to say that? That's a lot of mouth. That's a lot a mouthful.
Difficult to explain.
Yeah. So and also very, very... It's very, very hard to translate. And then hukou, the thing, an official document issued by the Chinese government certifying that the holder is a legal resident of a particular area. There's no equivalent in a different country.
Right. But with hutong, I think it's quite easy. You just narrow an alleyway. You get that everywhere in every country. Just the hutongs look a particular style in Beijing. But
true. And also jiaozi, because I think for food to be assimilated into a different language, that's much easier. Think about quesadilla.
Right.
I had a lot of trouble pronouncing that word when I first saw it.
Or burrito, or dim sum. You know, dim sum is a dish that a lot of people who love, you know, Chinese food back home eat a lot of dim sum. And trying to explain all of it in English, it's just really difficult. So just, yeah, the Chinese name just works better here. And goji berries, that's another one. A lot of people back home, it's a kind of a superfood that a lot of people are looking at eating.
Goji.
Yeah. And the pronunciation is different, but we just pronounce it as goji.
Goji berries. Okay. Or would people know what wolf berries are?
Wolfberry is the same thing, I
yeah,
think, but
yeah.
we just pronounce it as goji berries. It's a more common way to, to refer to this fruit or dried fruit.
Yeah, or ingredient in soup sometimes in Chinese cooking too.
Yeah, it's also I don't see it in soup so much back home. It's normally something that goes with a blended drink or like some type of trail mix, and I think another thing here is loose face, and I think that's primarily because it's in English, but the meaning that most people have an idea what that means. I think it applies to really humanity, everyone. So, this is also a really good one.
What I find weird is that actually both Chinese language and the English language, they don't share the same origin. So in some cases where, for instance, when the English language borrows from, say, the French language, we find it much easier to accept, like coup d'etat or words like that, or from Latin, de facto words like that, because they share the same common language. Whereas for the Chinese language to be assimilated into English language, for one thing, it makes it hard to pronounce. Like the example that you shared with goji berries, it's difficult to pronounce, and over time, people forget about what it means in the original Chinese language. And then it simply doesn't match. I mean, the rhythm and the sounds, they don't work together. I mean, for someone who pays a lot of attention to rhythm and rhyme, and I can totally tell the difference. And for me, I think it's very awkward to be absorbing too much Chinese language into the English language. I mean, but that's just my opinion.
And I guess I'm the more liberal one in this regard. And liming, I think it has so much to do with just whether you're used to it or not. Because with French, or if we go back in history, Latin and Greek, it's simply because the English-speaking world has been using these words for hundreds of years. And when we, as people who study English as our second languages, we learn that language with all those fancy terms. And it's noticeably more difficult than the Anglo-Saxon lexicon. And I suppose now, as change happens at a far faster rate in today's modern world, then yes, language is, like liming, you think, is a fluid thing, and look at the changes that's happening every day.
Well, I guess you make some kind of sense. Now that I think about some examples to where English language has borrowed from, say, Arabic, the word Ottoman.
Ottoman Empire, Byzantine.
It's just a furniture that you put in your bedroom or in your room. I mean, but that's the word borrowed from Arabic or Persian.
Yeah, well, we can just talk forever when it comes to this kind of topic, because we've got Liming here.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you on the show, Liming. Don't get me wrong. And of course, Tony Reed on Roundtable.